Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa khususan ala sayyidi ar-rusul wa khatam al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya. Amma ba'd. Sometimes in life you find yourself in a place where you expected least to be, and the circumstances in life lead you to a place where are far less than ideal. And at times like that, it's easy for people to want to just give up and stop trying. But when you are sincere and you do something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're really committed, no matter what the circumstances are, you continue to push forward. And that's the beauty of doing something purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we're going to take a look at a story in the Qur'an of one of the great prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose story is actually mentioned in the Qur'an possibly with the most detail that you find any prophet's story. And almost all of it is in one place, in one surah, Surah Yusuf. The whole story of Yusuf alayhi salam is very long. We won't be focusing on the entire story today, but we're going to take a look at a small snippet, a part of the story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala captures in a few ayat, starting from verse 36. Yusuf alayhi salam enters into the prison. An innocent young child, born to a prophet, soon to be a prophet, sees a dream. His brothers find out. Out of jealousy, they plot against him. They drop him in a well. Some people of a caravan take him from the well, sell him into slavery. Yusuf alayhi salam grows up in the house of one of the ministers in Egypt, and unfortunately is accused of something he didn't do, and makes his way into prison. Stop right there and think about it. Should a prophet of Allah be in prison? Is there anything a Nabi could do that would land them in prison? Yusuf alayhi salam was accused here. Now, whether Yusuf alayhi salam at this point in his life is a prophet or not, there is a difference of opinion. But regardless, many of us may find ourselves in a place at a time in our life where we feel like we're out of place. This is not what I dreamed of. This is not what I wanted. I wanted something very different. But circumstances in life will lead you somewhere. Someone's young and they plan a financial trajectory, a career line that I'm going to end up here 15 years from now. And 10 years later, they're in a whole different place. Their life's a big mess. And at times like that, you think to yourself, let me just give up on my purpose in life. Let me give up on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me just stop worshiping. It's not like it's doing me any good. Yusuf alayhi salam's loyalty, that he teaches us that no matter what the circumstances are, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that's put you there. So your job is to continue to be where you are, make dua to Allah, see if you can find a way out. And at the end of the story, there is that as well. Yusuf alayhi salam doesn't give up on his innocence. He keeps trying to find ways to get out. But even in the moments in between, he doesn't lose his personality, who he was, what he is meant to do. He is in prison, and Yusuf alayhi salam continues to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has an amazing personality, handsome man, full of wisdom. The people in the prison begin to notice this. And out of all the inmates, they begin to attract to him. They want to sit with him. They want to talk to him. They like listening to him. How honorable were those prisoners that they gained suhba from a prophet of Allah. There is an example similar to this, if I can digress for a moment. In the history of India, there was a great ruler by the name of Akbar. Known ruler, he was from the Mughal line of rulers. He came up with this idea that he wanted to create a unified religion that would accommodate all the faiths that were in the land. And he created this religion called Deen Ilahi, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of his own worshipping as well. And he gathered everyone together. Millions and millions and millions of people at that time, I don't know what the population was, but considering where the population is now, imagine the whole subcontinent being one, it must have been tens of millions of people at least, maybe hundreds of millions, wallahu alam. Such a large population of people, and everyone was being forced into this new religion of his called Deen Ilahi. There were a group of scholars that stood up to him. And the most famous of them, known in the subcontinent, we call him Mujaddid al-Thani, the one who revived the deen in the second millennium. He was a man by the name of Sheikh Ahmad Sarhindi, rahimahullah ta'ala, rahmatun wasi'ah. He stood against Akbar and was sent to prison as well. During his time in prison, they say that the inmates, they had all become the awliya of Allah. If you walk past the prison during the hours of the night, you could hear Qiyamul Layl. You heard prisoners crying, making dua. You heard Tilawatul Quran. These are people who had committed all sorts of crimes. But good people, no matter where they go, they continue that good. Yusuf alayhi salam is in the prison. Two of his inmates, they see dreams. They come to Yusuf alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shares a story of a conversation that occurs between both parties. وَدَخَلَ مَعَهُ السِّجْنَ فَتَيَانِ. And along with Yusuf alayhi salam, there were two other young men who entered into the prison. قَالَ أَحَدُهُمَا إِنِّي أَرَانِي أَعْصِرُ خَمْرًا. One of them said that I see a dream that I'm serving wine. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُ. As for the second, وَقَالَ الْآخَرُ إِنِّي أَرَانِي أَحْمِلُ فَوْقَ رَأْسِ خُبْزًا تَأْكُلُ الطَّيْرُ مِنْ. I see a dream that on top of my head I have some bread and birds are eating from it. نَبِّئْنَا بِتَأْوِيلِهِ إِنَّا نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Tell us, what's the interpretation of this dream? We view you to be an excellent person, a righteous person. Now, Yusuf alayhi salam, before interpreting their dream, he sees an opportunity here. The opportunity is that he has some people that are in the prison with him, who have time like he does, who aren't going to be arrogant, they'll be humble, they will listen, they will reflect over what he has to say. They've come to him with a need, so therefore they're eager to listen to what he has to say. So before he gives them what they want, he says to them, لَا يَأْتِيكُمَا طَعَامٌ تُرْزَقَانِهِ إِلَّا نَبَّأْتُكُمَا بِتَأْوِيلِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمَا. That before your food comes, I will give you your dream interpretation. I won't drag it out, I won't hold you out long. But before I do give you your interpretation, there are some other things that I need to present to you. Here Yusuf alayhi salam finds that opportunity. And many of us in our lives will have opportunities like this, where there is a moment for us to pitch Islam to someone, to pitch the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to someone, to talk to someone about what is Islam. I know so many people in our congregation who have told me over the years that in the line of their work, they've had the opportunity to introduce people to Islam. Now that doesn't mean that you need to get them to convert. That's up to them. Your job is to just share the word. Tell them what Islam actually is. People don't know. Today, I was at an iftar where there was a masjid that had invited a group of people who were not Muslim and they wanted to introduce them, interfaith event. And they asked me to come and they said, we'd like for you to come and speak to the people, introduce them to Islam. Where we've invited them for iftar, but before we serve iftar, let's do a little da'wah as well. then it's up to them whatever they wish to do, whatever choice they wish to make. So this is something important. Each of us should always be thinking of this, that do I have an opportunity to share some good with another person? Because the truth is, there are a group of people that you are connected to in your life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed you to connect with that I will never meet ever. They may never step foot inside this masjid. Only Allah knows if they'll ever meet another Muslim or not. So now that responsibility comes on your shoulders. That in a time where there is so much negativity towards Islam and Muslims, represent Islam. Be a voice, be a da'i. Yusuf alayhi salam, he starts, he says, إني تركت ملة قوم لا يؤمنون بالله وهم بالآخرة هم كافرون واتبعت ملة آبائي إبراهيم وإسحاق ويعقوب. He continues on giving them da'wah. And what he says to them is that I don't follow this shirk and this idol worshipping that's prominent here. I follow the legacy of my forefathers, ملة آبائي إبراهيم وإسحاق ويعقوب. Yaqub alayhi salam, who was his father, his grandfather Ishaq alayhi salam, and his great grandfather Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ma kana lana an nushrika billahi min shay'. We will never make any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhalika min fadlillahi alayna. This is Allah's favor upon us. Wa ala an-nas, and upon mankind. Walakinna akthara an-nasi la yashkurun. However, most people are not grateful. Ya sahiba yusijin, O my two companions in prison. Arbabun mutafarriqun. خَيْرٌ أَمِ اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَارُ. You tell me, these multiple gods that you worship, is that a superior way of living or worshipping one Allah that is all-powering? مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَّا أَسْمَاءً سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ. As for what you worship, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِهِ, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِلَّا أَسْمَاءً سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا. These are not but names. They don't even carry a reality. They don't even have a physical true presence. These are just names that you've created. You've created, your forefathers have created them. مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ سُلْطَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created no proof for them at all. People who worship idols, many a times, it's theological misunderstanding, where they believe that for every name of Allah, there is a need for another God or a helper of God to carry out that command of Allah. That's why you'll find that some religions will believe that there is someone, another God responsible of weather, and another God responsible of sun, another one responsible of rain. Within weather, they have different people carrying out different tasks. While we as Muslims believe that everything, good, bad, weather, not, life, death, all of this, it's done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. That true dominion and command only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَمَرَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ. He has commanded that you not worship but Him. ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ. This is the straight path. This is the straight faith. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. However, most people do not know. يَا صَاحِبَ يَسْ. Now he gives the interpretation. After he gives his da'wah, after Yusuf alayhi salam does his peace, and this is the point that I wanted to make today, even though he's not in favorable circumstances, this doesn't stop Yusuf alayhi salam from doing what he wants to do, what he needs to do, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him and sent him. Now after Yusuf alayhi salam has finished his appeal, he turns to their dreams. And he says, Ya sahiba yasijin, O my companions, amma ahadukuma, as for one of you, fayasqi rabbahu khamra, he will give wine to the ruler of the time, to his master. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُ, as for the second, فَيُصْلَبْ, you will be hung. فَتَأْكُلُ الطَّيْرُ مِنْ رَأْسِهِ, birds will eat from your head. قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ, the matter that you have asked about, the decree has been given. Your dream interpretation is done. And that's exactly what happened. By the next meal, the one that he said would be hung, the soldiers came, took him. He was accused of the crime. He was committed for the crime. They hung him and he died. As for the second, not too long later, the soldiers came and said, you are being released and you are being sent back to your old position. The historians, they say he actually already served in the kitchen of the king. And there was an accusation that someone tried to poison the king, and therefore he was brought into prison because they said that maybe he was trying to poison the king through wine. But then he was exonerated, so he was going back to his position. Yusuf alayhi salam says to him, قَالَ لِلَّذِي ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجٍ مِّنْهُ مَذْكُرْنِي عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. He says to the one that's going back to serve the king, that when you meet him, mention me. You know my story. You know I'm innocent. He's the king. Tell him that I'm innocent and get me out of here. This man goes back to serve the king. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِذَا سِنِينَ. This man went back to the king to serve him, and he forgot about the one who disinterpreted his dream. He forgot about Yusuf alayhi salam. And Yusuf alayhi salam, فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِذَا سِنِينَ. For a few more years he remained in the prison. And the story continues on, it's very beautiful. But that's as far as we're going to go today. So the summary of today's lesson. The first thing, bad things happen to good people as well. Sometimes innocent people get caught in a bad situation. There are many people that we may know who are in prison, yet they are innocent. And if we find ourselves in a place where the circumstances of life are not favorable to us, don't give up. Continue to be a good person. Just as you can worship Allah at home, just as you can worship Allah in the park, Yusuf alayhi salam teaches us that even if he's in prison, he won't give up on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second great lesson here is that Yusuf alayhi salam continued to give da'wah even while he was in prison. And you will get opportunities in your life to reach out to certain people. Don't back up. Say your piece. You don't need to be too aggressive and tell them, do shahada now. That's probably not even the right way of giving da'wah. The best way is just to introduce them to what you believe in, who you are, what your religion is. Tell them what it represents. You'll be surprised. People that you may think, there are examples of people who are clear Islamophobes. From Denmark in particular, there's a very good example of a particular Islamophobe who went out of his way to mock Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many of you guys may even know this. He made documentaries against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then along as he went, continued to hating the Prophet, hating the Prophet, hating the Prophet. He continued to read more about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to spew out more hate. But little did he realize, somewhere in the middle, he fell in love with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the man who made a documentary against the Prophet of Allah, who wrote filthy articles against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day, he's alive by the way, on camera he says, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh." Right? Where you expect at least from, sometimes the greatest things also come from there too. Never write anyone off. There's also a lesson of dream interpretation here and how Yusuf alayhi salam, at the end, he says something very specific. He says, the matter that you came to seek consultation for has been decreed. And there we learn the power of dream interpretation. I don't want to go too far on this issue, but I do want to point out that when it comes to dream interpretation, there are two schools of thoughts within the muhadithun, within the scholars of hadith. One group of scholars, they say that dream interpretation is not based off of the interpreter, it's based off of the dream. While the second school of thought, the second scholars, they say the interpretation is based off of the interpreter, not so much the dream itself. And there's a difference there. Because, let's say someone sees a dream and they go to someone who doesn't know how to interpret the dream, that person gives a wrong interpretation. The question is, that wrong interpretation, will it occur? Or what was meant in the dream, will that occur? So based off this difference of opinion, the answer is there. If those scholars who say that it's based off of the interpreter, that means that even if his interpretation is wrong, that's what will happen. While other scholars that say it's the dream itself, that even if that person gets it wrong, that doesn't matter. What's going to happen is what was intended in that dream. Now those who say that it's actually based off of the interpreter, one of the answers, one of the arguments they present is this statement of Yusuf alayhi salam, قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ. Secondly, there's a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refers to dreams like something in the claw of a bird. It's authentic narration. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as that bird lets it go, wherever that falls, likewise, the dream will occur as well. So it's more about the interpreter. My personal opinion, my humble opinion is that it's the latter. It's based off of the dream itself, not so much off the interpreter. That what the dream is intended to be, inshallah, that's what will come true. But this leads us to a point, and that point is, don't go around sharing your dreams with everyone. There are people that are jealous out there. There are people who will intend good for you, right? There's one riwayah in which we are told that you should not share your dream but with a labib and habib. Labib is someone who is intellectual, so they can interpret it properly. And habib is someone who loves you very dearly, so they won't be jealous. And Yusuf alayhi salam, as a child, when he first presented his dream to Yaqub alayhi salam, he presented it to a prophet of Allah, Yaqub was his father, who was someone who loved him dearly and also very intellectual. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Protect us all, guide us all, save us from any ill that lies ahead of us, and gives us strength to continue to be good Muslims, good representatives of Islam, wherever we go. وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.